Good morning. Today's reading, this third Sunday after the Epiphany, is Isaiah 9, 1 through 4. The reading begins. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in later time, he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light was shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as the joy of the harvest. As people exult from dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Today's psalm is Psalm 27, and this can be found in your bulletin insert and or on page 617 of the Red Book of Prayer. We will read in unison. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom then shall I be afraid? One thing I have asked for the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling, and set me high upon a rock. Even now he lifts his head above my enemies,
around about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hearken to my voice, O Lord. When I call, have mercy on me and answer me. You speak in my heart and say, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in displeasure. You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Today's epistle is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 10. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, that there is no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same person. For it has been reported to me by Cleo's people, that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
As Victoria said, today after our service, we will have our annual meeting as the parish of St. John's in the Wilderness in Glenbrook, Nevada, on the east shore of Lake Tahoe. Please join us. Join us to celebrate our shared life together. Join us to celebrate how far we have come as God's people. Join us to remember how we each came to be here this morning. Join us to talk about where we are going together. Our readings for today have been perfectly chosen for us by the Spirit for this occasion. So in the words of Thomas Cranmer himself, the primary author of the first book of the Common Prayer in 1549, let us remember that the Spirit has caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, and grant that we may in such wise first hear them, and then read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. The Gospel reading continues our walk with Jesus in the first days of his ministry, as told by Matthew. Matthew was particularly concerned to make clear to his listeners that the coming of Jesus was foretold by the Hebrew Scriptures. In the first part of the Gospel for today, Jesus travels from Nazareth to Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, a fishing village where Peter lived. I still vividly remember my first visit to Capernaum in 2011. The ruins of a synagogue and the ruins of a house thought to have belonged to Peter still stand in a place where our Lord walked and talked and healed. Matthew tells us that Jesus made his home in Capernaum in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, a prophecy that we heard in our first reading from the Old Testament. Here in Capernaum, Jesus begins his public ministry. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. But then one day, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat, they left their father, and they followed him. Jesus called his first disciples that day. His first, but not his last. What does it mean to be a disciple? From the Latin, discipulus, in turn from the New Testament Greek, mathetes, and is used in the New Testament, a disciple is a student, a learner, a follower. A learner not merely of knowledge, a learner who not only wishes to absorb the teacher's knowledge, but a learner who seeks to fully imitate the teacher's life. Before Jesus, there were teacher-student relationships that were based on a student seeking out a teacher and asking the teacher for permission to become that teacher's student. Jesus didn't wait to be asked by his disciples. He sought them out, and he invited them personally to join him, to follow in his footsteps, just as he seeks each of us out to join him, to be an active participant in building the kingdom. In the first call, Jesus invited his first disciples to share his ministry to fish for people. This invitation came to be understood as an invitation to become fully committed to living a life in imitation of Christ. And the first disciples responded immediately. They literally dropped their nets where they were and followed him. The first thing Jesus said to his disciples was to follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And what was the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension? In the very last verses of Matthew, we hear that after the resurrection, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, and Jesus came and said to them, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Between that first call and the final Great Commissioning, the disciples grew in number and in understanding as they watched Jesus heal and teach and proclaim the kingdom by word and by deed. And so it has gone through the centuries, down to this day and to this place. How did you become a disciple, a follower of Christ? Did your parents introduce you to Jesus? Was it a grandparent? A spouse? A friend? Did you meet Jesus through reading the Bible? Or did you meet Jesus through the kindness of a stranger whom you only later learned was a follower of Jesus? Do you remember that very first time you heard about Jesus? Do you remember the first time you spoke to him and the first time he spoke to you? Or should I ask you if you remember the most recent time you spoke to Jesus and he spoke to you? And Jesus would want me to ask, how many people have you brought to the knowledge and love of Christ? Jesus invites us to do these two things. He says, follow me and go make disciples of all nations. To do these two things is both easy and hard. Easy because you don't need to go to seminary. You don't need to know any theology or philosophy or physics of the origin of the universe. This is work of the heart, not of the brain. And this work is hard because the call from Jesus is absolute. In every situation, in every moment, when we are confronted with the reality of life, when we need to make a decision, we need to first answer just one question before we act. And I know you all know this question. Come on, here's a hint. WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's right. What would Jesus do? If you hang out at St. John's for more than a few Sundays, you can't help but learn lots of answers to that question for lots of situations. But answering this question, that's not the hardest part. It's not just about knowing what to do. It's about doing it. As Nike commercials have been saying for the past 30 years, we need to just do it. Jesus doesn't want us to sit around and talk about it. No blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Or as my mother-in-law might say, as the daughter and the sister of cattle ranchers, Jesus doesn't want us to be all hat and no cattle. Jesus wants us to do it. Jesus has shown us how to be incarnate love in action. Our God has shown us what to do and how to do it through feeding, through healing, through listening, through praying, through giving thanks. Just like we did as we gathered this morning as followers of our Lord when we repeated the words of Psalm 27. One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. I will offer in His dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Today at St. John's, we are giving thanks in our worship through music and song with sounds of great gladness. Today at St. John's, we are giving thanks in our annual meeting for everything you all are doing, for your time and for your talents. This is a small but mighty group that assembles here on Sundays on the east shore of Lake Tahoe. There is so much that each of you do to make our Sunday special here at Galilee. And after you go out through the church doors, there is so much that you do to bring Christ out into a world that is waiting to be created by Him. You are already doing so much, but I would like to ask us to keep doing two things in particular. First, please continue to make disciples of all nations. Tell others about Jesus and invite them to join us here. And second, please continue to tell us about organizations that you work with out there to do Christ's work so that others can join you. Whether it's Christmas Cheer, Backpacks Through Bread and Broth, the Veterans Guest House, tell us more. And if you see something that needs to be done that no one else seems to be doing, please tell us about that too. Can we hear Jesus calling us to start something new at St. John's in 2020? Shall we dream together, discern together about where Jesus will lead us next? Let us pray. Oh God, you sent your beloved Son to find us and call us here as disciples on the shores of Galilee. In our baptisms, you have called us to follow your Son, to be fishers of humanity, to make disciples of all nations. During this Epiphany season, send your Spirit upon us as we renew our commitments to follow Him. May our lives as the people of St. John's be transformed by the working through us of your mighty acts of love. All this we ask in the name of the One who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.